Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world, because there's toxic chemicals all around us in all kinds of consumer products, in our homes, in our bodies, in the water we drink, in schools, in workplaces, in public places, everywhere. But we can create our own sanctuary, so to speak, of a toxic-free environment in our own homes. We can remove toxic chemicals from our bodies, and we can surround the places we live and work in, fill the places we live and work with lovely toxic-free products. Today is Monday, February 3rd, 2014, and we've got a nice overcast late winter, early spring day going on here in Clearwater, Florida. We're going to be talking about rugs and yoga mats today, area rugs and yoga mats. And these particular ones are made in a very sustainable and toxic-free way. And an example of one of those kinds of products that I just, there are, I would say, a gradient of what's toxic-free. And at the very bottom of, or I shouldn't say at the bottom, because nothing that's toxic-free is at the bottom. But there's toxic-free in that you would just take a standard product that might be toxic, like paint, for example, and just make it out of non-toxic chemicals, and it's toxic-free. But at way at the top of the scale would be a product that's not only free from toxic chemicals, but it's also good for nature, the environment, our health, all life, as well as being free from toxic chemicals. And that's the level of product that we're going to be talking about today. My guest is Kevin Aylward. He's the co-founder and owner of Prairie Rugs and another separate business called Yoga Sauna. Prairie Rugs makes area rugs, and Yoga Sauna makes yoga mats in, actually, the ancient region where yoga had its origin. And so we're going to be talking about how they do this in a sustainable way. Thanks for being on the show, Kevin.
Thank you, Deborah. Greetings from snowy and cold Minnesota.
I was just thinking that you must be freezing. I don't know if you heard the news right before we came on. They were talking about how there's another blast. And I have a friend who's going to Minnesota on Wednesday. And I was thinking, oh, he better bring warm clothes. What's the temperature there?
Oh, it's a balmy, it's either zero or one above. I'm not sure. Hovering around zero, but that seems relatively, moderate compared to what it's been, the sub-zero blast that we've got. You've heard about the polar vortex, but we've taken the brunt of that a couple of two, three times. So this is one of the colder winters I can remember. So, but we're hardy up here and we don't complain, you know.
Good.
The land of Lake Wobegon, right?
That's right.
So.
That's right.
we're very stoic. We're very stoic.
We're hovering around 70 here.
All right. If we could split the difference, Deborah, we'd both be getting relatively comfortable.
Yes. I'm sitting here in a little tank top and capri pants. Okay.
Good. Well, we're waiting for spring. So
good.
There you go.
Good. So tell me, now this is a very unusual thing that you've been doing, because you didn't start doing this just because the green movement came along. You've been doing your area rugs since 1996, right? Before anybody was talking about this. Tell me about your background and how you came to do this unusual thing when you decided to do it.
Well, I guess the genesis of the story really is, I guess goes back to when I married a woman from India. My wife is from India and graduated from Delhi University and then moved to the States, and we met, and she introduced me to my partner, my original partner with Prairie Rugs, who is also from India. And he had the manufacturing relationship there, and we began Prairie Rugs back then. But I guess the reason that we weren't, late to the green manufacturing game, it began that way, I think, is because these rugs, which are called rag rugs, or the trade name for them is chindi rugs, and chindi is a Hindi word for rags. My wife, my Indian wife, Hindi speaker, tells me, is that the manufacturing process is inherently sustainable. The base product is recycled cotton rags.
Right.
So, and while it's always been important to me, I don't think it was much of wasn't much of a call for green home furnishings when we began. So we always leaned in that direction and tried to keep the supply chain manufacturing as eco-responsible as possible. And then kind of the trend then developed, and we just played to our strength from that point, you know. So.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. I also want to just commend you for 1996. So you've been married for quite a while. And
much longer. We've been married for 26 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I think it's wonderful that you're doing a business that combines both your cultures, and that it's something that you've integrated. And I just think that's wonderful. Anyway.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Let's see. So then tell us then what happened that you ended up, you were doing prairie rugs for quite a long time before you decided to also make yoga mats.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll take you through the prairie rugs genesis a little bit first, if that's all right. How the rugs are made. We visit the manufacturing facility in India at least once a year, sometimes more. And as I mentioned, while the process is inherently sustainable because we're using recycled materials, I've pushed and worked with my manufacturing partners there to try and increase the ways and means we're doing to make it more eco-friendly. So because that's not something that's necessarily well known or sought after in India. It's just, as I mentioned, rag rug making was using recycled materials. There is no power. There is no child labor. That's the nature of the process. But we wanted to take it even beyond there and find out if there are ways and means in the manufacturing process where we could improve things and make it more eco-sustainable. So basically, the cotton scrap is material that's bought from mills, and it's pre-consumer. It's residual cotton has been destined for making bedding and things like that. So we'll buy it from the mills in large bales, and then it's sorted. And there's lots of things in the bale. Sometimes not all of it cotton. There could be other scraps of this and that. So it's all sorted out. And the better grades are used. And they're graded, I think, 1 through 8 or something like that. So we'd use grades 6 through 1 in our rugs. And then it's washed and cleaned. And one of the processes that we changed is initially they were using bleach to clean the cotton, and we switched to a biodegradable detergent, which is more eco-friendly. So we mm-hmm. changed that process. And then the cotton is dyed all by hand, and then after it's dyed, it is washed. And not only once, not only twice, but three times, triple washed in separate basins of water, each clean, and then within each basin, they're moving the cotton strips around to try and get the residual dye off of them, and then they'll put it in the next basin and then the third basin. And then finally, it's put out to dry in the hot Indian sun. And after it's dried, it's issued to weavers, and the weaving is all done by hand on manual looms. And then there's a final inspection, or they're sort of cutting off the tabs and the little imperfections on the mats and on the rugs too. And then they're packaged and sent to us here. So
We need to take a break, but after the break, I want to ask you to elaborate on some of the points that you just described, because you're doing a lot of unusual things that I want to hear more about. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Datt, and my guest today is Kevin Allward, and he is from Prairie Rugs and Yogasana Eco Yoga Mats that are made sustainably in India. We'll be right back. This is Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Datt, and my guest today is Kevin Allward, co-founder and owner of Prairie Rugs and Yogasana. And they make these rugs in India by sustainable methods. Kevin, I was really interested to read on your website. You were talking about that the fabrics are hand-dyed. Now, when you say hand-dyed, I think you're talking about dyed by hand, like a person putting the fabric in a pot and not in a factory. But are they actually putting their hands in it? I was thinking as you were talking, well, I wonder
No, not at all. They're dyed by hand, meaning it's hand labor. It's not, it's a manual process, not a mechanical process.
Okay.
But I'm looking at a picture of one of our dyers right now, and it is in a pot. It's heated with wood, and he uses a long pole to mix the cotton strips around within the pot. So it is all by hand. It's not by the manipulation of the cotton in the dye bath is by hand, not by machine. I guess that's what I meant by hand dye.
Yeah. Well, the reason that I thought of that is because it also says on your website that the water after rinsing the dyeing process, what does it say exactly, right? The triple washing removes the residual dye and helps prevent color transfer. Irrigate the vegetables. Here we go. The residual dye water is used to irrigate vegetables and mango trees that surround the manufacturing plant. So your dyes must be really non-toxic.
Yeah, they are. They are. Now, there's an interesting story how I found this out, because I didn't know that originally, and I was, years ago, was calling on a group of stores, of natural food stores out in Colorado that was eventually bought by Whole Foods. Now, Whole Foods owns all the natural food stores, as you know, but at any rate, this was a chain, and I was trying to sell my rugs to them, and the buyer asked me, what do you do with the residual dye water after it goes through the dyeing process? And I said to her, you know, no one has ever asked me that question. I really don't know. I didn't finesse it. I told her, I don't know. I'll find out for you. So I contacted my partner in India, and I said, what do we do with the dye water? Don't tell me we're dumping it into the Ganges, you know. And he says, no, it isn't. It's treated, and it is used to irrigate vegetables that surround his manufacturing facility and groves of mango trees. So I was so happy when I could get back to this buyer and tell her that, because that is a true story. It's absolutely true. So,
well, it's reflects the care in which goes into every step about, I mean, I can just see this whole process of the cotton being grown, because your cotton is grown like right there somewhere nearby, isn't it? And then it goes
nearby. We don't know exactly, because there's no source of the cotton coming from the mills. But we know it's coming from northern India is where it is. And we're very familiar with the mill and so their reputation. So we feel very confident about the source of the cotton.
Good. So you have this cotton, and it's being grown nearby, and then it gets turned into this fabric that is used to make bedding, and then that fabric has some scraps, and then the scraps come to you, and you make another product. You make these wonderful area rugs and yoga mats, and then the things, whatever's left over, like your residual dye water, it just goes on to do something else, to water the vegetables, and probably the workers eat those vegetables and those mangoes, and it just is, everything is just very integrated into your natural system.
That's all true. That is all true. And we feel very good about the way the workers are being treated. aside from the due diligence that I've done with my partner over there, we did something interesting a few years ago. As I mentioned, my wife is from India. So I engaged my partner in the office while she went out and talked to the workers in Hindi, especially the women, because I could try and do the same thing but may not get the same answer that she would, especially yeah. a woman talking to a woman. And we feel very good about how they're being treated and, that health care is provided for their families. And so that's the karma is good. We believe the karma is good.
Good karma. You know, one of the things that I like about products like yours that have a story like this, where it's really everything that you're doing is interwoven in nature, is similar to the mattress that I sleep on, which is made out of wool, made by a company called Shepherd's Dream. And when I got this mattress, I lived in Northern California, maybe about an hour away from where they actually made them. And all the wool from the sheep that provided the wool was all in a very local area. In fact, I worked with them to write the first organic wool standards for their growers. And so whenever I still sleep on this mattress, and I don't know, it's been 15 years or something, it's just like new. And I often think of, I can see a picture in my mind of the sheep. I know where the sheep raised this wool. I know
right.
the room where this mattress was sewn. I have slept on mattresses in this workspace. And yeah. it's like that, all that interconnection is there as part of the experience of my having this this mattress. And now that I know your story about your rugs, if I had one of your rugs on my floor, that whole story would be there in the rug. And
well, that's right. That's right. That's really nice to hear. And maybe that segues a little bit into what we did, how the genesis of the second company I have that you mentioned. And in the West, it's called Yogasana. In the East,
well, before we go talk about that, we're going to have to go to break in just a few seconds. So let's wait and start the story when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. Let's see. Let's give Kevin's website. It's prairierugs.com. And the business we're about to talk about is yogasanamats.com. And you can go to my website, Toxic Free Talk Radio, and find out more about this radio show and listen to all the radio shows from the past. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Gad, and my guest today is Kevin Aylward, who's the founder and owner of Prairie Rugs and Yogasana. Okay, Kevin, tell us about Yogasana. I know this is what you most want to talk about.
Well, it's true, Deborah. It is my passion. It is, because it's while I co-founded Prairie Rugs with two other partners, and now am the sole owner of the company, Yogasana, which, by the way, in the East is pronounced Yogasana, in the West it's Yogasana. Either is correct. I guess I go with the Eastern pronunciation, but either is correct. So this is something that I founded along with my partner in India. I conceived of, and he helped execute. So the story begins where I was approached by several companies here, one even quite large one that makes yoga mats, and they asked us to weave a cotton mat for them. And we're kind of known as the, when it comes to weaving cotton in India, I mean, that is our specialty. We're known pretty well for that within the industry, within the trade. So I looked into that, and I could have done that, and this would have been for their brand. And I thought, rather than building up their brand, why don't we do our own? And
What is unique about a yoga mat that's separate and distinct from an area rug? Like, why wouldn't, if I were practicing yoga, why wouldn't I just get one of your prairie rugs?
Very good question. And I began with that premise. And we looked at prairie rugs, and I even made some samples. which I have, of 2x6, which is the normal size of a yoga mat. It's 24 inches wide by 72 inches longer. 68 is actually the standard. We went to 72 inches. And I quickly found, amongst myself and others who are much more adept at yoga than I am, that the product was not suited. Number one, it's too heavy. 2x6 prairie rug weighs almost 8 pounds. Quite heavy, too heavy. Mm-hmm. And second, the cotton strips are not a good texture, not a good surface for yoga practice. It's too slippery. Too slippery, too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that wouldn't work. So we started out with a blank sheet. And rather than taking an existing product, which is a flat weave, like prairie rugs would be considered a flat weave, or a duri. We know cotton duris are flat mm-hmm. weave. Rather than taking one of those and repurposing it as a yoga mat, or calling it a yoga mat, essentially, I said to my partner, let's try and design a cotton rug for yoga. Blank sheet, you know, best materials, the best ways. So the base material is different than our prairie rug for yoga asana. It's more of a thread than it is the cotton strips. So he made some samples. I said, make me some samples, 2x6. And we brought them over, and I gave them to friends of mine who are serious yogis, and those mm-hmm. that practice different styles of yoga, hot yoga, hatha yoga, vinyasa, the flow types of yoga, restorative yoga, different types. And then I had them review the mat on its performance. I gave them a sheet of, you know, 15 different questions. How does it work for grip and color and washability and weight and size and all these kinds of things. And interestingly enough, he did the same thing with some yogis in India. We wanted to get both perspectives on that. Mm-hmm. And then out of that, those reviews and reports, we refined the product and developed it to what it is today, which is a 2x6, 72, 24 by 72 inch yoga mat of a cotton composition, which we believe is the most eco-sustainable yoga mat on the planet. So
when you say cotton composition, the first thing I think is that there's some synthetic material in it, but no, it's 100% cotton. So how is that cotton different from the cotton that's in the rug?
It's a different, the cotton in the rug are cotton strips. I mentioned we buy them from the mills. They're about 18 inches long and about an inch to an inch and a quarter wide. They're a strip of cotton. The cotton in our mat is actually a thread. It's a cotton thread. So the source is different.
I see.
So it's a different source, and the manufacturing process is slightly different. But it is all cotton. It's 100% cotton. Cotton warp, cotton weft. So cotton composition, it's strictly composed of cotton.
Yes, I got it.
Yeah,
I got
100%.
It. 100%. I want to hear more about that you don't use any electricity. So, and I'm looking at a picture on
yeah.
the Yogasana site of a man
yeah.
weaving, and he's yeah. like in a very open air kind of place with no walls. So I mean, you mentioned using coal before, but this is very much not a factory.
It's not. It's more than cottage industry, because it is a an organized space where we're making the mats and the rugs. But there is no electricity being used. Most of the processes are done by hand manually. So the weaving is on a manual loom. The dyeing is with coal-fired a vat of dye. The warp thread is stretched on just by hand. They put out two posts and run the warp between that and stretch it out. The cotton dries in the sun. The water comes from a well on the site. There is no, I get asked often about the question of child labor. And it's not that there isn't a lot of child labor in India. There's a lot. It's oftentimes it's cottage industry, people making things at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this product does not lend itself to work by children. It's more heavy lifting and more of a rigorous process. So there is no child labor involved at all. And so it is very much of a handmade process, again, inherently in making right. this kind of these kinds yeah. of products. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
again, we need to go to break very soon.
Okay.
But I was just thinking about the tradition of all this handcraft work in India and the spiritual roots of that, and Gandhi
yes.
setting up these villages, and maybe you could tell us a little more about that after the break.
Yes.
And I also want to hear about the Sustainable Furnishings Council. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest is Kevin Aylward, and his website is prairierugs.com or yogasanamats.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Kevin Aylward, and we're talking about making rugs and yoga mats in India. He's the owner of Prairie Rugs and Yogasana, and the websites are prairierugs.com and yogasanamats.com. So, Kevin, tell us more about the tradition of handcrafts and how India got set up that way.
Yeah, that's a really important part of the story, because weaving has been a tradition in India for thousands of years, and I think it really on the rug side. And you mentioned Gandhi before the break, and he talked to the Indian population about the importance of homespun cloth
yes.
to try and
yes.
help liberate the Indian population from the reliance on cloth coming from England and before their independence, and being self-sufficient, self-reliance. That way, and that became a huge movement. Now, with regards to my yoga mats, people say, well, how did the idea begin, and the genesis of that idea? And in a way, it really begins with this 15th century saint from India. He is a mystic poet and saint called Kabir. And he was a poet, a saint, but his profession was a weaver. He was a weaver by profession. That's how he made his living. He was self-sufficient. And weaving cloth and this part of northern India has been a tradition for thousands of years. And there is it's a very, very, the city where we're situated there is a very old city, one of the oldest cities in the world. The city, its history dates back up 10,000 years, if you can imagine that. And it's a city, a place where Hinduism was founded, and is also sacred to Buddhism. So it's just steeped in mysticism and spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about the weaving tradition and the spiritual tradition, and it's the place where yoga really began. So it seemed like a natural progression for us to make this mat there. And so we talked about how it's made and the traditions on which it derives from. But the final piece is, I didn't mention this is really important, that each mat that is made, it takes 10 days to make each mat, including 3 days of weaving, 3 days on the loom, after which the master weaver who made the mat signs a signature card that stays with the mat. And in this way, it forms a connection between the weaver and the yogi, who is eventually going to use this mat from his hands to her hands, in most cases, or his. And I thought that was really important. I wanted to make that connection.
I think it's really important, too. There's such a connection that occurs with products like yours between the earth and the artisan and the user that is totally gone in industrialized products, that you have no idea where the material comes from. A machine is making it. And there's a whole tradition of handcrafted things having heart to them. And you just got it all the way down the line. And I can really see that your yoga mats would be very special to somebody who does yoga practice, and knowing that they're made right in that place where yoga was developed. It's just, it's all part of the story. You just everything that you're doing just down the line is just, I wish that every product was made like yours, with the care and the thoughtfulness into sustainability, not only in materials, but in terms of history and human connection and connecting the user with the entire process and having pictures on your site and all those kinds of things. It's just, I'm sitting here smiling.
Well, thank you, Deborah. It's really important to me. And the other thing that we're doing, which is the key to the sustaining this new company, Yogasana, is that we have a give back. We're giving back to the support the education of the production workers' children. In fact, my wife is involved with this foundation and my partner's wife in India, and we call it Yogasana Circle. And that give back, so a portion of every mat that we sell goes towards this cause. And when a yogi buys a mat online, they can make an additional donation if they choose. And 100% of what is given goes towards our foundation called Yogasana Circle. There's nothing lost in transfer. There's no administration. Every dime, every penny goes towards this. And so right now we're supporting school supplies for the children of the workers, their books and pencils and backpacks and uniforms and things like that. But as the company grows, I mean, we'd love to say one day that we're able to build a school over there for these kids. Education is really important. It's really important to me. It's especially important to my wife, coming from India and recognizing how that empowers the youth. And so that foundation empowers Yogasana. That's our energy source, so it's really, really important to us.
How wonderful. Tell us about the Sustainable Furnishings Council. You were one of the first founding members and the only rug company in the United States that's a founding member.
That's correct. And the reason is when the Sustainable Furnishings Council began in 2006, I was, as I mentioned, had an interest in sustainability, so it was a natural for me to sign on. And before it was really popularized, I signed on before any other rug company signed on. So even though I'm a very small company, Prairie Rugs is small, I'm the only rug company in the U.S. that's a founding member of the Sustainable Furnishings Council. So,
and what does the Sustainable Furnishings Council do?
Well, what it is, it's an organization that supports sustainable manufacturing, retailing, and methods in home furnishings. And while they're not a third party certifier like others are, they're basically rallying around a membership that has the same vision in terms of purveying sustainable furnishings if you're a retailer, or using sustainable methods if you're a manufacturer, or a distributor. And basically what's required of me, there's a membership, a required yearly membership, and I have to sign an affidavit each year stating that the methods that we're suggesting that we use are indeed true, and that membership has to be maintained year after year. So I love the idea initially. I thought that they were heading in the right direction. It was a natural for us because, as I mentioned, our rugs are inherently sustainable, and they're doing very good work. So that's why I support them.
Good. I'm happy to see that they're there in the industry, so that people can have a resource and belong to something that supports sustainability. So we only have a few minutes left in the show. Didn't that go by fast?
It did for me. I could talk on and about this, it's my, as I said, it's my passion. So,
well, is there anything that you want to make sure that you say that you haven't said in the next 3 minutes?
Basically, as I mentioned, the prairie rugs are really important to me, and we continue to do that. The yoga mats, we are just launching and trying to gain a foothold in it. Yoga is growing. tremendously. I'm happy to say that we have now sold our mats to yogis in about 30 countries around the world. I just got an order from South Africa this week, from Brazil. We sell into Australia, New Zealand, and Europe, and it's really growing nicely. And the feedback, the testimonials that I get are just heartwarming. I invite anyone to go on our website or our Facebook page, and you can navigate that from our website, and read some of the testimonials that we are getting from yogis who own our mats. And it's just, I'm speechless when I get the kind words that they're saying about what this mat has done for their practice. And it just makes me cry sometimes.
Well,
really good about that. Yeah.
It's so incongruous to do yoga on a plastic yoga mat.
I think so.
Yeah. Yoga is so spiritual and about connecting with your body and nature and everything, that to then put that smelly artificial thing there and have that be the base of a spiritual practice just doesn't make sense to me. So that's one of the reasons why I think it's so incredible that you're doing this, because it's so natural to the practice.
It's traditional. It's classic. And you're right, the origin of yoga predates the advent of plastic.
Yes.
Right?
They must have used something before a plastic mat.
Yeah, they did yoga on the ground. They did yoga on cotton and wool rugs. So this is not a new idea that we're doing. It's a very, very old idea. This is a traditional idea. Yeah. And then we're trying to respect those traditions. And
I think you're doing a great job. I'm sorry to cut you off, but show's going to be over in a few seconds. And I just wanted to thank you so much for being here on the show and telling us what you're doing. And I think it's fabulous. You're welcome. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'll be back tomorrow.